welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. And I was praying for you, for the listening audience, before I'm coming on the air, and the Lord gave me a scripture for you, and it is Isaiah 32 and 17. I know some of you that are listening right now, the enemy has tried with very concerted and determined efforts to rob you of your peace, and in its place to bring turmoil and upset and distress and confusion. Why? Because the enemy thrives in such an environment, because that's his very nature. And I feel there are many that are listening right now that are fighting intense spiritual warfare at this time. However, we know that Jesus, our soon coming King, the King of Glory, is going to dwell in the midst of Zion, in the literal city of Jerusalem. And another verbiage for that is the city of peace. Now, Jesus, if you've accepted Him to as your Lord and Savior, to come and dwell within your heart, He dwells in the very center of your spirit. And because that's where He is abiding, He wants you at all times and in every circumstance to be ruled by His peace. So the scripture that the Lord gives is Isaiah 32:17. And there the word of the Lord says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever." Beloved, there's a righteousness that is imputed to us. We become righteousness. We have the righteousness of Christ when we accept Jesus, when we have salvation. But think of this, that we're able to work the works of God by allowing God's peace to control our thoughts and emotions, and to bring that same peace wherever possible to every situation that we might face. What a testimony. Just think, to those who come in contact with you every day, to have a smile instead of a frown, to have words of life instead of murmuring and complaining and negativity. You know, we naturally tend to just even people that aren't saved, they don't want to be around that. Someone who is cheerful and happy, why, they're just naturally drawn to that. Why? Because that's the very nature of God. Every man, woman, and child has been made in the image of God, and there's a big void inside of them for the King to be in residence, and they'll find no rest or peace until they come to that realization. So, beloved, the first step to this victorious lifestyle is faith. When Jesus was asked by His disciples, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" That's John, the 6th chapter, verse 28. He answered and said, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He has sent." And so, beloved brother and sister, you must appropriate for yourself, personally, the truth that righteousness, which is practiced and actively sought after, will yield a harvest of peace. You know, I haven't even started to get into the message the Lord wants me to share, but He just wants me to minister a little bit to you right now, to rest in Him. Again, that scripture, "The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever," Isaiah 32 and 17. That Hebrew word for effect in this scripture means work or husbandry or service, sacred or divine, as well as worship. And so, beloved, I'm praying that you'll be able to allow the Lord to let you see and experience in the Spirit how beautiful this promise is to those who will simply believe. and also that you can present a daily offering of this kind of worship to the Lord. You know, in this chaotic and desperate age in which we live, you, as His precious child, can live in the beauty and the serenity that characterizes the kingdom of God. What? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so I'm praying, beloved, that God is going to move in every area of your life and in every concern on your heart. I'm just going to obey the Lord. Beloved, the Lord would speak to you on this wise, that there are many things that would trouble you. But I say to you today, cast your cares upon me. As it is written in my word, it is in me that you live and move and have your being. My all-seeing, all-knowing wisdom and understanding encompasses all things. Nothing is a surprise to me. Therefore, if you will trust me in a new measure, you will see that those things the enemy means for evil to be turned to good. By faith, you shall possess new victories. Haven't you desired them? I promise to keep you in perfect peace as your mind is stayed on me, says the Lord. Praise God. Beloved, may His peace flow like a river in and through you. Bless the Lord. Well, I just had to obey the Lord, but what I want to begin to lay a foundation for the teaching will start today and take another few days to conclude is the preparation of the priesthood. That's what I'm going to entitle it. But I'd like to read some beautiful verses found in the very first chapter of Revelation. John, in that fourth verse of the first chapter, he's greeting the churches that are in Asia, the seven churches. And he says, "Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come," speaking of the Father Almighty, "and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." And he goes on, this is what Jesus has done. He's loved us, he's cleansed us from our sins, having washed those sins away by his own blood, and verse 6, "hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father." Three things the Lord has done for us. Unto him, he concludes, be glory and dominion forever and ever. So he's praising the triune God. He's magnifying him because of his love for us, because he's washed us from our sins, and that he's made us kings and priests. Now, for those of you who have walked with the Lord for any length of time, that's a familiar scripture. Praise God, he's made us kings and priests unto our God. Did you ever think of what was involved in that? Well, to have a little better understanding, we know we are in the New Covenant, praise God. I know there may be some Christians, they don't bother to open the Old Testament, but the Word tells us that those examples were given to us to teach us, to show us the way of the Lord. The law was good, but its purpose was as a schoolmaster to show us that mankind, God's chosen people, especially, no one was able to perfectly fulfill the law. Only the perfect one, Jesus, fulfilled it in all points. And so, I'd like to look at the third chapter of Zechariah. We're going to look at, say, those first seven verses. And we're going to see what the Lord did for the priesthood in that time and understand and apply application and meaning and significance for who we are today, because we are kings and priests. Kings referring to authority to minister in civil affairs, and priests being able to minister to the Lord, and also in an extended sense to be able to minister in the name of the Lord to others. And certainly God has called that, given us that charge in the day in which we live. The harvest is already white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. And God needs each and every one of you who are listening, everyone who names the name of the Lord. And if you don't, I pray if you stay with us that you'll be able to claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Well, let's read now those verses found in Zechariah, and I want to turn there. Zechariah, the third chapter, verse 1 through 7, and we're going to look specifically at each one of these subsequently. And he showed me Joshua the high priest. Now, what's that talking about? Well, he's Zechariah. This is the prophet Zechariah. The Lord had been giving him night visions, and so he's sharing a night vision where Joshua the high priest was standing before the angel of the Lord. Who's the angel of the Lord? We know that is, there's references in the Old Testament to the pre-incarnate Christ. The angel of the Lord is the Lord, and we also know from the context this is definitely the Lord speaking. So we've got Joshua, we've got Jesus, the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. The right hand of who? Joshua. He was doing what he does, right? And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this, referring to Joshua, a brand plucked out of the fire? Now there's a focus on Joshua. He was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him. This is the Lord. Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, he's speaking now to Joshua, behold, I've caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And Zechariah now speaks, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, shall also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among those, among these that stand by. So there were other heavenly beings that were there. Well, my time is gone, and I must conclude now. We're just getting into the scripture. I invite you to tune in tomorrow at the same time as we begin to examine what the Lord is saying in this passage for us today. Thank you for listening. God bless you. The announcer is going to give you our contact information. Write that letter, won't you? It's always good to hear from my friends and family out there in Radio Land. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.